Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Northeastern and Boston University, the two largest universities in the city, plan to bring back thousands of students on campus in the fall for on-campus instruction. But as coronavirus cases continue to spike in states around the country, those plans are worrying some city officials. City Councilor Kenzie Bock wrote a letter to both the universities today asking them to completely abandon their on-campus plans and go entirely online this fall. Councilor Bock joins us now. She represents Mission Hill, Fenway, Back Bay, Beacon Hill, and the West End. Councilor, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much, Jamie. Great to be here.
So I just, before we continue, should note that BU holds the broadcast license to WBUR. Councilor Bock, there are dozens of colleges and universities in Greater Boston. Why are you singling out BU and Northeastern? I'm thinking of Emerson College, which is also in the heart of the city. They plan to bring back at least some on-campus students as well.
Well, as you mentioned, Jamie, these are the two largest institutions we have, and they also have a really high percentage of out-of-state students. So both BU and Northeastern, 75% of their students are out of state. And really the reason that I sent that letter is because I think we're just at the sort of last moment before the point of no return on bringing students back into the city. And right now, to me, the paramount public health concern for Boston is that we have a tradition where we increase our city population by 10% at the end of this month. And these students are a big part of that. And I think that doing that with the indicators where they are in Massachusetts and really where the indicators are the rest of the country is just not wise. And we look to Northeastern and BU to really be leaders on this.
I see. So you mentioned the point of perhaps no return. We're only a few weeks away from students actually getting here. So are we too close to that point of no return for these two universities to completely change their plans and go all virtual?
No, I mean, I wouldn't say it would be completely changing their plans. I think one of the things is that both these universities, and I think really all our universities, have made plans for mixed instruction where you've got at least some virtual option for students who are choosing to stay home or who have to stay home. And so what's good about that is they're already set up to do virtual teaching. And so it's just a question of closing down the option of doing the in-person instruction. And I don't think it's too late. I think there are a lot of students who, because everything has been so up in the air, haven't signed leases. I just think that when we're talking about the public health of the city and our wider community and, you know, the off-campus neighborhoods that I represent, we can't sleepwalk our way into anything, right? It can't be too late to make the necessary public health interventions.
So would a complete shift to virtual learning be enough, in your opinion? I'm thinking, you know, other things that the city would need to do, addressing the return of people to their offices or international travel through Logan Airport, beyond just addressing the universities.
Well, the city and the state, right, we're having to think about like harm mitigation and reduction in every sense in every industry all the time right now. And of course, there's going to be a million steps we have to take. And some students are going to be at our universities and we're going to have to be thinking that through regardless. I think to me, it's the point here is really that the biggest harm reduction step we could take for the city right now is to bring fewer people into our ecosystem from all over the country where we're seeing these coronavirus hotspots. That's sort of step one upstream, right? And then, yes, absolutely, there will be lots of things that we have to do downstream, however it shakes out.
So, Councilor, WBUR reached out to BU and Northeastern, and they responded to your letter. BU says, in part, it will, quote, continue to work with the councilor and her constituents to prioritize their health and safety, along with the health and safety of the entire BU community. And Northeastern says, in part, quote, we are moving cautiously and carefully ahead with the plans we announced in June. So what's your reaction to that?
I just hope that they continue to reconsider the situation as we're getting, you know, new data day by day. I'm very sympathetic to the fact that the universities have put a ton of effort into these plans, and they're very elaborate, and there's lots about them to admire, and I think the testing capacity that they've stood up is substantial. But I think what I'm tasked with is looking at, you know, the neighborhoods I represent where you've got a bunch of vulnerable elders living in place, you got a lot of essential workers, and then the question becomes, is this enough for it to be worth the risk of bringing all these students back in this large wave? And I think the answer is just no. So to me, it's not to say that they haven't put a ton of thought and energy into these plans. I think it's just that when you zoom out, at a sort of macro public health level, it doesn't make sense.
So, and we'll be talking the rest of the hour about the coronavirus pandemic, but I'm struck by this idea that you also represent students and parents. And so I'm curious what you're hearing from them about the other side of this coin, another missed term on campus or the type of learning that happens online, which is not the same as on-campus learning. What are you hearing from them?
Yeah, I mean, we all know this is a terrible situation. I actually teach undergraduates. Like, I think that learning in the classroom is amazing. And we all know everyone like wants to be in those communities. I think it's just that I think what I hear actually from a lot of parents and students is a sort of half recognition, sometimes full recognition already, that there's a good chance that even if we started this way, we might be in a place in a month where we have to shut it back down again, right? And I think everybody knows that we all wish we were living in a post-vaccine or pre-COVID world, but we have to kind of square up to the situation we are in. And actually, I've heard from a lot of students and their parents who are also concerned and wish this weren't the case, but see the merits of virtual learning for the time being. And to me, there's no way out but through here, right? We've got to bring transmission down. We've got to contain this virus aggressively, contact trace. And maybe that puts us in a position to be talking about in-person instruction in the spring, right? But there's just no way around the tough spot that we're in right now. And we've got to be mitigating risk however we can, and switching to virtual learning is part of that.
Well, and part of that struggle too is the struggle of small businesses. You know, I'm thinking of all of those local places that rely on the foot traffic from students, the laundromats, the whatevers, the sub shops, right? And so what are you hearing from them about fears of yet another extended, if these students don't come back, another extended period with fewer customers?
Yeah, I think it's terrifying, and everyone feels that, but that's the situation that we're in. I mean, you're going to be spending the hour talking about it, right? But the reality is that we have not succeeded as a society yet in knocking this thing down to a scale where we can really robustly reopen. And that's so frustrating. It's infuriating to me as someone at the local level.
So then what can the city council do to mitigate that business loss?
I think we can continue to do the things the city's been doing around the edges, right? Which is, we did small business grants and loans from the city, helping people with reopening safely. How do you adjust to takeout? How do you have, you know, spots in front of your establishment? And then all of us need to be advocating in a big way at the federal level for more support for our small businesses and our universities, right? I mean, there's absolutely a ton of jobs on the line here, and we need to be supporting them economically. And it's just we're in the middle of a disaster, right? Of a pandemic emergency, and part of what government has to do in that situation is step in and backstop people financially.
Well, so I want to ask you about what government can do as well. I'm thinking in terms of the teeth that the city council has to actually impact how universities choose to bring their students back. Can the council really stop BU or Northeastern or any other college from moving forward on any of their plans?
I think when it comes to an order, that has to come at the governor's level. I think that we can advocate and use our voices. That's what I'm doing today. Speak up for the, you know, neighbors living in our off-campus communities, where things that are usually quality of life issues, students having parties, are turning into life and death issues. But I certainly don't have the power to compel the universities, but I do think that we have the power collectively as a community in Boston to talk through how we keep everybody safe.
And Councillor, before I let you go in our final moments here, I do want to ask you about Boston Public Schools potentially reopening. Maybe you saw today that the UN Secretary General called on countries around the world to prioritize reopening in-person schooling as he fears a, quote, generational catastrophe from the pandemic. We know Boston will either be all remote or hybrid remote in-person in some fashion. Which way do you think the city should take?
I think the superintendent has just released a plan, and I haven't had the chance to read it yet. I think just in the last like hour or so. So I'm going to go look at where BPS has landed tentatively so far before I comment on that further. I think that, it's the same kind of, you know, terrible set of conflicting situations here. And one thing I would say is, I think everybody recognizes that our kids need so much support to get through this year ahead, regardless of whether it's virtual or hybrid. I mean, our schools provide so much support when they're in person day to day, and we're just going to need a kind of moonshot of civic resources to help support them through this moment of learning loss, whichever way the schooling plan shakes out.
Got it. Well, that's Boston City Councilor Kenzie Bock. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Jamie.
So listening into that conversation was WBUR Edify reporter Carrie Young. Carrie, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So I want to ask you, because we just heard Councilor Bock there say that there's a potential school plan being released right now for the city of Boston. Do you have that yet?
I do not have that yet. It is something that we are watching closely. I know the school committee meeting is coming up on Wednesday, so tomorrow. So we are reaching out and looking into a few things, but don't have that information just yet on the K through 12 system.
Okay, we're going to continue following that. The WBUR newsroom will continue following that as it becomes available. Carrie, I want to ask you then what your other reactions were to what we just heard from Councilor Bock.
Yeah, I mean, you know, she makes a good point. I mean, between BU and Northeastern, that they bring in a lot of students to the area. I mean, just looking at their student body numbers, it's about 61,000 students. That's undergraduates and graduate students, which is about half of all of the enrolled college students in the, you know, Boston area. So, you know, by making action on just these two schools, it does make a big impact. So, you know, I think whatever these two schools do, you know, that, like I said, that is going to make a big impact. And then she also brings up a really interesting point here, too, politically, is that city council's kind of in a tough spot here. You know, colleges are governed on the state level. So there are some things that city council can do, whether it's loans or making city policies about gatherings and things like that. But yeah, it will be interesting to see as the next school year starts just how the city might be able to get involved and how they do get involved to keep this under control.
So put BU and Northeastern in the context for us, because they're just, as we mentioned, two of the many schools in the greater Boston area. How are the other schools around here dealing with this exact question?
Well, I mean, some have changed course, actually, just in the last few weeks, even. Berklee College of Music is the most recent to change their plans. I know Simmons University has announced that they are going to be all virtual this fall. And then you've got a few who are attempting to do something in between, sort of like Harvard. They're allowing about 40% of their student body on campus, but instruction is going to be online. You know, so it kind of is a range here in Boston, or in the Boston area, rather.
So I know we are so far from what we could describe as from a usual year, right? We're far from normal here. But what's the normal impact on the city of Boston of all of these students coming in economically, numbers wise?
Yeah. So the Boston Planning and Development Agency did a report in 2017, and they say that there's about 138,000 undergrad and grad students who are enrolled in the greater Boston, like colleges and universities. You know, and those students do gravitate towards a variety of housing. Only about 43% of those students live within city limits, though. And breaking that down, about 44,000 of those students, of that 43%, opt to live off campus. So that's a lot of rental space. That's a lot of housing that's not inside campus control, you know, that could be taken up this fall.
And so could have economic ripple effects as well. In that sense,
depending on what students choose, whether to come back or whether they opt for online only.
So I hear Councilor Bock in her strenuous plea to put public health and public safety first. But there are other factors on the other side of this coin. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, one thing that you guys have mentioned already was just like the financial strain on the businesses in and around the colleges, the things that are amid like foot traffic, you know, sandwich shops, et cetera. But, you know, when you look at the colleges themselves, this pandemic has been a really big financial strain on them. You know, like when students had to vacate last year, a lot of schools issued partial refunds for room and board. That was hugely expensive. And then, you know, just to put that into context, especially if a college is opting to go all remote next year, like they're not doing in person at all, I mean, room and board is a really significant revenue generator at a lot of colleges. I looked at Northeastern's numbers just for an example, and it can cost a student about $11,000 to $15,000 per year for room and board, and that's about a third of the total cost of attending the school. And then you look at the other numbers of just how many people do live on campus each year. That's about 75% of their undergraduates, at least. So, looking at how much that could cost, those numbers could be significant.
So we heard a little bit from both universities in our conversation with Counselor Bach. Do you have any more information about what they're saying about right now, their plans for the fall?
The university's plans from the fall, I mean, the most of the communication we're getting, especially with BU, I know being licensed by BU, we do get a lot of their notifications. I know they are working really hard on, testing and getting those policies and procedures in place as to where students should go and how long the turnaround time is and that kind of thing. So I think there's still a lot of procedure that's being worked out from what I can tell. But so far, especially with these two big schools, they are moving forward with in person, but also giving people that option to stay remote if they want to.
So, in giving people that option to stay remote, what are you hearing from students? Are they taking up the schools on that offer?
Well, students' response has really been really, really mixed. I spoke with one student this afternoon, Miranda Rodea, she's from Texas. And she's going into her fourth year at Northeastern, and she said she decided really recently, like 2 weeks ago, that she was going to stay home. First, she said, if campus life is just going to be really altered and so many rules were going to be there, and gatherings wouldn't be allowed in the first place, she said it's not going to be the same, and she'd save a lot of money in housing costs. Plus, she said she was really impacted by seeing the COVID numbers really explode in Texas over the summer. And she said she didn't want to see that same thing happen again in Boston with everyone coming back. Let's hear what she had to say.
I just don't trust the student population as a whole to be responsible. And I just had a bad feeling about going back and thought, I'm just going to experience the same thing that I experienced here at home.
But there are other students that say, we can trust our peers. Like if your suite mate comes down with COVID or tests positive, then that means you are also quarantined. So like you can kind of hold each other accountable. A student from BU, a rising junior, her name was Tanya Grover. She said that she is planning to come back, but she said that decision really had more to do with her productivity experience in online classes from last spring. Let's hear what she had to say.
It was so hard to do school at home just because I was so used to being in my own like independent like room and having to like plan my own schedule. But I just feel like the level of focus that I had at home was extremely hard to like be able to do my class as well.
And from what the Edify desk has been reporting and has been hearing, there are a lot of mixed feelings among professors and other college staff too. So really, it really just depends, I guess, is how that ends up.
A lot of uncertainty there,
A
Carrie. Just
lot
in
of
our last
uncertainty.
30 seconds here, what are you watching for going forward in the next couple of weeks before these schools return?
I mean, I'm looking for updates in testing policies and procedures. Like I said, there's a lot of logistics being planned out right now. And then I think there could be a possibility, whether or not it's these big schools that decide, nope, we're going to change course. But I think there might be space for other schools to change course and sort of pull back on more of their in-person learning.
That's WBUR Edify reporter Carrie Young. Carrie, thanks so much.
You're welcome.